Offertory messages are, I find them very interesting because they vary from sermonettes and sermons that we hear every Sabbath, in that there's a very specific focus that we need to take. And I find myself sometimes struggling to come up with something that I think might be helpful and inspiring and interesting. And as we know, there's really nothing new under the sun, so we do our best to carry on here. Now, we can, of course, look to our Bible for the relevant scriptures that instruct why and how we must make an offering to God on the appointed holy days and feasts. We know that. However, in this offertory message that I've prepared, I want to once again, and I say once again because, again, these are things that we know, things we've heard, things that we really should commit to heart to help us understand the great imbalance that exists in terms of what we receive from God for our faith and obedience. And it was Mr. Mitchell, I think, that coined the phrase, buy now, pay later, BENPL. My little acronym is something we've all heard many, many times, and I know we've actually heard it in prior offertories, which is return on investment. Often in our lives, we must make decisions, and we weigh them carefully. Some are simple, and others are more complicated. Should I take this job? Go to this school? Do my homework? Purchase this car. You get the point. You know, these are things, again, some are very life focused, and others get to more of our spiritual life. As we make these decisions in our human lives, we're undoubtedly using something that we've heard before, a technique called the cost-benefit analysis. And we don't even realize it often that we're using this. But we do. This is what we are doing very often. The basis for this is to consider the return on the investment that we will make. If we commit to a post-university degree, we weigh the amount of time and money we will spend pursuing that degree with the personal satisfaction of the education alone, as well as the potential for higher earnings. And we know there are statistics that talk about that. You know, well, if you get a PhD, you might earn this much more if you get a job in that field. So you really do have to weigh it carefully because it's a considerable expense. These are real decisions that we face, and while some have minimal impact on our future, we know that there is one decision that has an enormous impact on our future. You might even consider it to be a life and death decision. If we are drawn by God, and we know we must first be drawn by God, we don't elect that and say, well, gee, I think I'm going to start doing this now. There has to be a prime mover, and we know that is God. And if he begins working with us to shape our hearts and our minds, we will at some point come to a decision that we must make, whether to accept God's offer, his call, and his promise, or to continue to live what may be a very comfortable life in the present state that we're in the present sense. Now, we know that Jesus instructs us to count the cost of following him. We know that when we are counseled prior to baptism, we are instructed to do this very exercise and take it very soberly and very somberly to count the cost of giving up much of what we can obtain in a worldly sense in very short run of accepting a life now and forever with Jesus and the Father. Now, Jesus makes this point very clearly for us in Luke 14 and in verses 28 and 29. And he says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest, and this is continuing in verse 29, lest after he has laid the foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, and then in verse 30 saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And I really appreciate that Jesus is giving us a very real life example once again of something that we all face. Should I build this fence? How do I build this fence? Surprisingly, it's going to cost a lot more than you ever think. But Jesus is giving us a very spiritual focus on this. And so we consider all that we will receive by accepting God's call and following and obeying the Father, our Creator. The disciples had to do this as well. And we see Peter actually acknowledging this to Jesus. And again, now this is further on in Luke. This is in chapter 18. And we're going to look at verses 28 and 30. We're going to consider these words. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. And he is speaking obviously to Jesus. And so Jesus responded, and so he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many more times in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So I think there Jesus is giving Peter and his disciples a very clear sense of cost-benefit and the counting the cost of following him. And it's very touching, very moving, because his disciples had given up these things to follow Jesus and had left behind family. But that is what's required. And obviously, God wants us to honor our families and take care of our families, but our highest priority must be to God the Father, our Creator. And God does not ask us to give up our worldly possessions and our home and occupations in this time, he does expect that we fully commit to him and to his commandments and his way of life. We understand this, and we hear this in sermon after sermon, Sabbath after Sabbath, for good reason. And if we're listening, this is not news to us. This is what our life is about when we accept the call. Now, in our final scripture, we observe Jesus speaking to his disciples following their keeping of the Passover and the monumental actions taken by Jesus to wash the feet of his disciples and institute what we now keep as the Passover. He is telling them that he's going away, but also promises to prepare a place for them with he and the Father. Now, obviously, for people living in this world, even as disciples, this was strange and perhaps troubling, and they didn't immediately understand, especially hearing him say he was going away from them. They were very troubled and very, very concerned by this, but Jesus also makes very clear that above all, if they have loved him, they will do what? What will they do? We know the answer to this. Obey him. Obey the Father. And we see this very clearly in John 14 and in verses 15 through 18. Again, John 14 and verses 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then we go on in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What an amazing, amazing return on the investment that we receive from God for following him. And even the disciples who may have not had that clarity going into the Passover and these days heard Jesus say this. Imagine that. Heard their master say this to them. And they got to take away this message of this return, this promise of a future greater than anyone could ever imagine, certainly greater than the world could ever promise. This world, with its riches and comforts, could never do this. So as we make our offering today, we understand that we do not do this simply because we're instructed to. And again, I advise you, go into Leviticus and seek the scriptures that give you the rationale for why we give, why God requires this of us. He obviously does not need this. He doesn't need money from us, but the work needs money to continue. And we know what we're up against in this world, and we know what God expects from us. We do this out of because of our acceptance of God's promise and our love for him and for Jesus Christ. What we receive in return for our investment is beyond our current capabilities to ever understand. But I'll use the word monumental again, life-altering, future-altering. This is what we're promised for our investment in our faith and our obedience. And next, we'll have some very lovely special music to have as we complete our offerings to God. Thank you.